come before the throne of grace. God, we thank you, Father God, for your goodness. God, we thank you for your love tonight. And Lord, we just come before the throne and ask you, Lord, Father God, that you'd anoint us, Lord, Father God, that your word would go forth with power and with free course, Lord. And I pray that those that are sitting before me, Father God, that this will edify and lift them up, Lord God. I know and I feel in my spirit, Lord God, that everyone that's in this room, Lord, Father God, is saved, Lord God, and ready to go to heaven. But I pray tonight, Lord, Father God, that the word, Lord God, would strengthen and undergird them, each one, Lord, Father God, that you might be able to use them, Lord, Father God, and to be able to help them to get through certain situations of life, Lord, Father God, the unanswered questions that are going through their heads, Lord, Father God, and the different things, Lord God, that we're just dealing with because we're human, Lord, Father God. We come to you, Lord, Father God, and we believe in you, Lord, Father God, but help us, Lord, with our unbelief and give us strength, Lord God, to walk as godly and faithful men and women of God. We ask these things tonight in Jesus' name. I give you the honor and the praise for it all. In Christ's name I do pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I want to talk to you a little bit about your faith. Your faith. Ephesians says in chapter 6 and verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith that ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Thank God. Thank God that we are able to stand, because the enemy will come against you. And he will try to undergird and undermine the decisions that God has had you made in your life, and you've prayed about it, and you just trusted in God about it, and you laid it right there, and you said, okay, God, this is what I'm going to do. It's like when one evening we were ministering down on Broadway, and I was at work, and I had because I was a security guard, and time is what I had on my hands, and prayer time, and I could read my word, so I was working at where Sister Frida is working at now, but I was working the graveyard shift and the beginning of the latter end of the second shift. So it was around 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. And I had to take the pickup truck, and I had to take and do a rounds, and I had to drive around the parking lots and different things, because they make drugs there, and they package class 2 drugs that they had to have armed guards there. So as I was driving around, and I was praying, and my faith was kind of weakened, because things weren't going well as far as financial and things like that at Bethel, and it just kind of seemed like that things were beginning to slow down for us, and I didn't know what to do. I felt like that I was in the right spot and at the right time, but I felt like that the Lord was kind of closing the door for me, and I didn't know what to do, so I still came to church here and considered Brother Gary my pastor, and always have. And he was this was my base. I, no matter if I was pastor down there or what, this was my base here. I had to have some place where that I was answerable to, and to be able to be answerable to somebody, not just out there, all on my own, and not answerable to nobody, and could do whatever I wanted. I needed that. I needed that to be able to keep me in check. So one night I was driving around, as I drove around the back side of the building of Building B, and came around to the parking lot, and I said, I got to talk to somebody about this, because it was driving me crazy, because I felt like that, I made a decision, and I'm not sure where to go with it. So I talked to Brother Gary, and I don't know if you remember, but you told me, said, you give God 30 days, stand on that time limit that you taught, and it's not wrong, but stand on that time limit, in 30 days, if something doesn't happen for me, we're going to have to close the doors. And we discussed of how it should be done and all that. And I said, all right, brother, that sounds good to me. So I prayed about it. I'm not just going to take a man's, you know, point of view for it, but I needed it. I needed that advice, and thank God, you know, it was there, and you were there for me. But anyways, you know, I said, okay, Lord, because when you look for something from God, you got to pray about it. You need to pray about it. You don't just need to make a decision and say, okay, I think this is what God wants me to do. You got to birth that thing in prayer. You got to put faith to work. You got to press in into with God and put faith to work. So I prayed. I say, Lord, this is the situation. He already heard my conversation, and I know that. And I could have cut it short and said, you know what me and Brother Gary talked about? I want that. No, that's what I said, Lord, this is what I need. I said, in 30 days, if something doesn't happen for us, we're going to have to close the doors. Because financially, my wife and I, we couldn't keep the doors open. We could squeak by for a few more months. But things just were kind of slowing down, and it was getting to, you know. So he said that the doors are at Souls Harbor is always open for you. And little did I know, somebody was praying, oh, God, please, Brother Cliff and Sister Mona, come back here. Because, you know, I understand. We can do more together than we ever could apart. But I needed that time apart anyways to grow. But that's what I feel like the Lord had for me. But anyways, I prayed about it, and I asked God, I gave him a fleece. I laid it down there. I said, 30 days, Lord, and this is what's going to happen. And within that 30 days, Lord, this is what I want. I don't want to have to move any furniture out of that place. So didn't that sound nice? Not have to move no furniture. That's what I said. God, I don't want to take any of this big heavy stuff with me, the freezers, refrigerators, all of this big furniture, all of this stuff, Lord God. I want to donate it to a church, and this is what I want to do, and we'll take the funds that we have left and the things that Souls Harbor can use. That's where it'll go. So I'm laying it in your hands, Lord, and I'm trusting in you. And I give it to you today in Jesus' name. Amen. So in that 30 days, things wasn't happening for us. You know, something didn't pick up. Somebody didn't come in and lay down a big check or anything for us. And you know, and that could very well happen. But God opened the doors that there was a church that came. And before I finished my last sermon, on that Sunday afternoon, there were some people coming in to take all the furniture. There was people coming in to take all the freezers. And there was people coming in that took everything. And the only thing I had to move out that I wanted was the pulpit and a few small things. And I believe you guys still got the thing that you hang from the ceiling. I don't remember what you call it, but it's a projector. And we're here. And I believe that by faith that God moved in our hearts, and we are here, and this is where we belong, and this is what God had did for me in that particular time. We need God to do things for us and to strengthen our faith, because sometimes, folks, this Christian walk becomes a little bit lonely. We need God to strengthen our faith and to feel that there is the presence of God there, and that we know and understand that there is a God in heaven, and that He still has our best interest in His mind and in His heart, and our best outlook. Interest in His outlook. We thank God for that tonight. We sometimes need encouragement. We need those that are around us to give us strength and to you know, just tell you that you know you'll be able to make it. Just hang in there and give you a little bit of advice, and sometimes even to give you that proper double chin and to look down on you and say, listen, brother, what's the matter with you? You know, and kind of stir you back awake. We need that faith in our life to walk in the Spirit, and because without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to the Lord must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We need to diligently seek after the face of God, that we might be able to grow stronger in every aspect of our Christian walk. And so that when we see somebody that is sick, or we see somebody that's crippled up and or needs prayer, that we won't feel like that we're stepchildren and we're not worthy of going up and to lay hands on somebody and to pray for them. You have got the faith of the grain of a mustard seed. You all have been dealt the measure of faith. You've got that pressed into your spirit. You have that. Because sometimes we look at ourselves and we feel like, and we look at ourselves in the mirror and say, I don't have that kind of faith. I just don't have that kind of faith. I wish I had faith like you got, but we got it. We need to remember and understand that God has created us and we are the children of God, and God has placed that faith into your life. You can be one of those that stand in the faith chapter. By faith, Gary Fuhr stood between all the time that there was nobody coming to church and stayed there day after day, played music, taught Sunday school, preached, closed service, open service, and was had all the hats of every, and by faith, his wife stood there and said, go ahead, honey, preach it, go ahead. You're doing all right. Don't move away from it, you know, because that's the speech that I got. Because I looked at my wife, I'd preached to her, and she would sing to me. And right in the middle of my sermon, I'd stop, look at my congregation, her, and say, honey, am I making a mistake here? Just PTW.
What?
PTW. You see, she's in the medical field, so everything's an acronym to her. So she says, PTW, honey. And I said, what in the world do you mean? PH, preach the word. Just preach the word. Stand on your faith, boy, and preach the word. Let the power of God flow from you. Let the Spirit of God, I don't care if it's just me sitting here, preach the word. And I looked at her and thought to myself, well, you know, maybe we should switch spots for a minute. Maybe you need to preach to me and I'll try to, if you can stand it, sing to you. Sometimes we need to get a definition into our mind to know what you know, to kind of define what faith is and what it kind of means. And faith is a strong belief and a conviction in a supernatural God and His ability to answer prayer and to direct life, and to believe that He gets involved in our personal affairs, and that we call out to God and we say, God, I got a sore toe. And that sounds like something silly to ask God, because, man, you get a sore toe, your whole body hurts. But God is still concerned about a sore toe. Yes, sir. God is still concerned about maybe if you might have a spot on your nose and it starts to grow a little bit. And somebody lays hands on you and you pray and you ask God, Lord, I need help. This is something's wrong with this. And that's not right. And all of a sudden, that thing gets bigger. And you think like, oh, I must not be praying the right way. And then all of a sudden, it dries up and falls off your face. I know men that have prayed that prayer. And I know personal friends that have gone through that. And I've seen by his faith, he called out to God and said, look at my nose, God. We can't be living with these. And so, we look unto God because we need to remember that our faith is a strong belief and a conviction in a supernatural God. We serve a supernatural God. Yes, sir. We serve a supernatural God. And our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ himself, stepped out by faith on the water and took a walk. And he walked towards the boat. And what did the disciples do? Let's see, I'll put it in today's vernacular. They freaked out. And some of them were screaming like girls. It's a spirit. It's a ghost out there. And he goes, no. I bet he was about ready to crack up laughing at them. It's just me. Is that you, Master? And she said, it's me. It is I. It's just me. Sometimes we need to be able to recognize Jesus when he comes. We need to be able to recognize God, because you know the devil is a fancy player, and he can manipulate things a little bit for us to make us think things. But Jesus always lets us know and understand without a shadow of a doubt. He goes, it's me. It's me. Because you, as the children of God, know his voice. And you'll follow no other one. We know his voice. And when he spoke to his disciples, right then, Peter says, it's you. Okay, Lord, if it be you, let me come out there and walk around with you too. Sometimes that faith walk just takes a little bit of just suck the wind in and just hold on and say, okay, God, I got a hold of your faith and just get me through the rest of it. Because when the winds and the waves and the problems and the things are all around us, everything is beating against us, and we'll begin to sink like Peter did. And then Jesus will have to reach down and grab you by the hand and say, come on, buddy, come on. Let's go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When I was sinking, God, when I was sinking deep in sin, thank you, Lord. Love lifted me. Love reached down and lifted me. Thank you, Lord. Now in chapter 1 of Jude. Jude tells us to do this. He said, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. We're called. Did you know that? Every one of you sitting here tonight, you are called. And you can look at me and say, Brother Cliff, I don't have a calling on my life. But I'll have to bring you to what the Apostle Paul says, that you have been called to be saints of God. So you have a calling on your life, whether you would like to realize it or not, but you have a calling. But it goes on. In the second verse, he says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that the saints once had. For the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Thank you, Lord. I try to quote that, and I used my own words, so you'll have to forgive me or talk about me later and forgive me. But he said to earnestly contend, to fight for, to pray, to seek God's face, to fast, to look for that faith that was which was once delivered unto the saints. Brother Kevin, the saints of old, it was just second nature to them for things to supernaturally happen. That to see the power of God, just God manipulate bodies and things. And you know, I've seen, and I don't know if you all went crazy with share on it, because it was a video, and I don't think it was Africa, but I think it might have been Haiti, and it was a woman that had an arm that was this part of the arm was missing, and it was just a round ball right here. And they were praying, and it was a godly prayer, because I don't see any of the other ones raising hands, and you know, you just know the kindred spirit, you just know it. And they were praying, and this man had a bottle of water, and he was just splashing the water on her arm, and he's still praying for her, and something was beginning to happen. That woman was starting to kind of almost fall out in the spirit, but I thought to myself, why do they guys do such silly things like that? I thought to myself that. And then the Lord kind of quickened me and says, well, I put mud in their eyes, didn't I? I reached down and spit in my hands and rubbed dough balls of mud and rubbed it in their eyes and said, go to the pond and wash your eyes out. But that man kept praying, and he kept splashing water on that woman's arm, and she began to slump over like that, and the arm began to grow. I saw it. I watched it over and over again. I saw it. I saw it, Brother Gary, and it wasn't faked. It wasn't some kind of fake film. I showed it to people, and then they kind of scratched their head and like, oh, that's just fake. But you see, God is able. God is able. Unless you know, but I've seen what God can do. I've seen right here what happened to my wife when she has been had cerebral palsy all of her life. I've seen God reach down from heaven and touch her and her leg grow. And Sister Pat kind of flipped out a little bit and says, oh, no, it's longer than the other one now. And then my wife stood up on her toes and danced for 45 minutes in the front of the Rallstrom here. And I thank God for that, because by that it has built my faith. The devil has come too late now to put a shadow of doubt on it. And I'm trying tonight to lift you up and to build your faith that you can say, yeah, I can feel the strength of God just pouring through my body. You can be the one that walked up here on a cane. My God, my knee feels so good right now. I can't stand it. I don't want to quit preaching for a little bit. You can be the one that walks around on the cane like my mama was. She had a bad car accident back in 1969. And she had a compound fracture right here from knee to her hip. They had to cut her open, and she had two surgeries, her leg was 2 inches shorter, and she couldn't go anywhere without a cane, and she was on a walker for a long, long time. Me and my little brother, and that's pretty much all he remembered, because it happened when he was just a little Schaefer, and we grew up with it. I had to help my mom, and she had her second operation, and I had to do things that a little boy just don't want to do for his mama, because she was in a body cast, and there was really nobody else at home, and so there was things that she had to take care of, and I had to help, and I closed my eyes, and I had no idea, and this I just had to do it. It stinks being the oldest brother. The little brother got out of all that stuff. Yeah, well, that's true, big boy, and I'm just confessing now. I don't hold no... I'm not bitter. But that man took my mama's cane, and he grabbed it like this, and she came over to a chair and sat down, and he broke it, pop, across his leg, and threw it over there. And my mom looked at the cane sliding across the top of the stage, and she looked at it and thought to herself, how am I going to get down now? How am I going to get down from this stage now? And this was back before, you know, these kind of mics and from wireless mics, and he would wrap the mic around the back of his neck, or he'd have somebody holding in his forearm, you know, and he prayed and he laid hands on my mom, and he healed my mom. That, I mean, God healed my mom. Now, let's not get things, you know, wrong. I need to pronounce them out right like it should be. God, through that man, by faith, healed my mom. And she said, I was just going by his faith. No, Mom, you had the faith that was dealt to you. You had that faith. You had faith enough to walk up there and to gimp up there, as someone would say. I got called a gimp once or twice on VBS. I'm not bitter about that either. I have to confess maybe a little. But this man laid hands on my mom and said, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I command this lady to come back in line with the word of God. And laid hands on her. And my mom, she sat there and she saw this. And the very next morning I was a young teenager. I was not even a teenager. I was like 12. And I walked into the dining room. My mom was sitting there having coffee. She'd been up all night long. Just couldn't sleep. I wonder why. And she said, look what happened. And she sat in the kitchen chair, and she swung her legs out like this. And I noticed a little bit now, looking back, that she was a little bit more active, you know, than she normally was, because she moved around kind of like this around the house, and if she didn't have her cane, she was grabbing stuff. So that was Mom. But she sat down in that chair and she swung her legs around and she said, "Look at that!" And she lined them right up there. And I said, "Wow." She told me about it. They had a big article written up in the newspaper and all of that. But I just need to let you know and understand that there is a God in heaven that we serve. And we all know that and understand that. But I'm just trying to stir you in your spirit and to encourage you tonight. And tonight is the night when they light off fireworks. But I'm trying to light some spiritual fireworks off into you so that you can be recharged and rekindled. And then you can feel that strength and you can say, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to fight a good fight of faith through you and by you. And in the name of Jesus, I'm going to make it. I'm going to stand. I'm going to make it all the way. Tell yourself and look at yourself in the mirror and say, I have confidence. I have confidence in you, God. I have confidence in what you say, God. I've got confidence in your word. I have confidence in all that you lay out there, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God. I've got confidence in your promises. Thank you, Lord. Can you imagine of being some of the saints of old, like Noah, that was called out and told and spoke to and said, Noah, I want you to build me a big boat. Did you know that boat was almost as big as an aircraft carrier? As some of our aircraft carriers. I looked at the specs on an aircraft carrier, and I believe it may be one of the smaller ones. It's 1,000 feet long, 125 feet wide, and 100 feet tall. And in some aspects, I think that the ark kind of spanned a little bit taller than a regular aircraft carrier. But can you imagine that? He built a boat big enough for an airplane to land on as long as they got hooks and cables like the aircraft carriers do have. I see the size of the engines that have to push these big aircraft carriers, and there's four engines, and they're big diesel engines, and they sit from this side of the church to the backside wall there, and they're about as wide as those chairs are, and they're about 19 feet tall, and there's four of those engines that sit in there and power that big beast, and the winds and the hand of God powered that thing on until it went to rest on Mount Ararat. Until the doors were open. We studied that this morning. Daniel, he faced the lions. And some of us can't even face the day. Some people can't even face their bosses. But Daniel faced lions and was pulled out alive. I remember some of the old cartoons or the old coloring things that we used to get when in Sunday school. It had Daniel laying back on a lion, you know, and taking a short nap and waiting for the next day to come, and the door to open, and the king to cry down in a lamentable voice, "Daniel, my son, are you okay?" "Yeah, O king, I'm good. Got cat hair on me, but I'm all right." David stood and slew a giant. Standing in the faith of God, David stood and slew giants. These are the ones that walked in the faith back then. We are the ones that walk in the faith right now. We're ordinary men and women, but so were they. You are filled with the Holy Ghost. You've got the power of God residing within you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You have got His Word and you've got the promises of God. If your heart is right with God, we can have confidence that whatsoever we ask of God, that will He do. We can have that confidence. And that which we speak, watch what you're talking about and watch how your mouth goes and watch what you speak, okay? There's life and death in the power of the tongue. So be careful with that. Watch how your mouth runs. Give yourself blessings instead of cursings. You know, I know I'm not getting off to this side, but that's okay. It's just a vein. It's not a rabbit trail yet. But you see, we can preach to ourselves and tear our faith down. We can make a mistake and look and say, "Oh, I'm so stupid." Or things like of that manner. But like, I believe it was Brother McGregor. His son, he said, was unsaved. And boy, he'd get after him. Oh, he said his mama would yell at him and get her so mad she would. Ugh. But then finally, he prayed about it. And he said one night that life and death is in the power of the tongue. So I started doing this. "Hey, you man of God." And he would get mad, shake his finger at his dad. Powerful man of God. He would call him and different things, you know, like you're man of God and you preacher of the word. And he would still, but pretty soon he found himself in the church with one of his buddies and just visiting the church. And then he gave his heart to the Lord. Things that we can do to strengthen our faith. Things that we can do to be able to lift ourselves up in God. The apostles only voicing what we all want. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 5 it says, "And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith." You know, sometimes we just look to God and say, "God, just increase my faith. Make it stronger. Help me, Lord." And I pray that a lot. And you know, but you know, you got to exercise your faith. You got to exercise it. If you don't exercise it, then you're going to be like me. You're going to be a weakling. But I'm going to start exercising. I've already got 2 days in, girl. I'm a little sore, but I'm not going to be a weakling no more. This 60-year-old man will be like a 59-year-old. Wow. Wait a minute. I'm still 59, aren't I? Just a little bit. Soon and very soon, I'm going to be at that age. But anyways. But the disciples looked at Jesus and he said, "Lord, increase our faith." And the Lord said, if you had the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, "Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea." And it should obey you if you had that faith of the grain of a mustard seed. But he says, you've got that. How big is a mustard seed? Go outside and kind of get some dirt and get you a nice little small speck of dirt. That's a mustard seed. That's how big a mustard seed is. I used to have two mustard seeds that Brother Ernie gave us all. And we all kept it, you know, and then I looked at it from time to time to think and looked at those two little specks, and I thought, like, I'm fat enough to have more faith than that. I got that faith. I'm going to have to start that conversation back up with that tree in the backyard. I got a tree that looks like it needs to be cut down, but it's a big tree, and it's going to cost lots of money. Sometimes I want to pray that God will give me faith enough to get me the money to get the tree cut down. Maybe that's the way that it will be thou removed. But it doesn't hurt to talk to a tree. It's okay. And my wife or someone else may look at me and say, what are you doing? I'm exercising. What are you exercising? I'm exercising my faith. I'm building my faith. Because, you know, I look at that tree now, after I've only spoken to it for a little while, and I don't see as many limbs up there as before. Little by little, huh? I keep talking to it, and then branches keep dropping off. As long as they don't hit some car or hit me, I'm good. Keep dropping off limbs, and then I got a chainsaw buddy I got a friend that has chainsaw, a brand new one, I think. He may let me borrow it to finish the rest of the job and say, okay, Lord, there you go. You've done the impossible, and I will go ahead and do the possible. Thank you, Lord. How can I increase or build my faith? The Apostle Paul said this, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the hearing of the word of God. Fight a good fight of faith, he says in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Let us walk by faith and not by sight. Let us walk by the Spirit of God and what he has for us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Thank you, Lord. And at the very end of it all, I want to tell you folks that this was one of the best VBSs that I believe we've ever had. I was stoved up, couldn't do nothing, and I was watching people work. It was just eating my lunch. But I snuck away from my wife and did a little bit of work, and I sat back down like a good boy before she saw me again. Because she gave, you know how wives give you that look? That, do I got to tell you that again? You know, kind of that, you know. Yeah, see, all the girls laughing, aren't you? Yeah, we know. You guys got a club, don't you? You can't get together and say, well, you should have seen the look I gave him. Ooh, girl. Thank you, Lord. Well, Brother Joe, I was encouraged. I was encouraged. I was going to preach about salvation, and Brother Gary just beat me all to it and preached it better, way better than I had it down. And I'm like, oh, I'll just wrinkle that one up now. It was good. Brother Mark Mitchell, he done a good job. And all the counselors and our newest addition to that, you guys did a fine job. I want to tell you, I appreciate you, and I saw you stepping in and stepping up, and that was good. It was good. I seen my brother Gary said, my wife gave me a be sweet juice. So he sent him out a 5-hour energy drink. And when Father Abraham come around and he got done with that 5-hour energy drink, wow. I thought he was one of the Russian fellas when the knees started going like that. But I believe that the young people went away this year with something. I believe they did. And as I'd like to ask you guys to put two more names on your prayer list. Donald and David. Two young men, I believe, what, they're 14-ish?
David's almost 17.
17? Okay. They're 17, and then Donald...
14-ish?
Yeah. They both looked about the same age, but I knew they was kind of, you know. But pray for them. God will give them wisdom and understanding, you know, helping to seek after the Word of God. You know, they had a hard time reading, like I have a hard time reading, and I've had to break scripture apart and break it into smaller parts and to kind of sectionize it and then so that I can get a better understanding of it. So, you know, they're wanting to, so pray for them. And there's young kids that were there that had the same problems but just didn't open up about it or didn't get tattled on. But it was good this year. And I'm thankful for that. All right. It's been great. To have been in the house of the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God bless you.